Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Mill Park Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit millparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well.
I feel like I've been double physioed here today.
Yes.
Tag team action between the physios.
We have got, yeah, we've got double physios in today. Shebex, when you're on, we need twice the number of physios.
Thank you, mate.
We've got... We've actually just had a few discussions off air about your ailments, and the bill will be coming through,
oh,
I can assure you,
coast.
In the mail. Don't worry.
We'll, it's old
we won't
age,
forget.
Isn't it? But is it old age?
No. It's just the... It's, look,
just
if you're a motor car, if a person was a motor car, and it's, say, 40, 50 years old, geez, they need a lot of care and maintenance. And that's what way we are. We just need to be... We need to look after this machine. And that
yeah.
means a lot of, you know... tinkering here and fixing bits and pieces up there. You've got to put some time into it. So
one of the things that a lot of people have an issue with is shoulders, and we've got
our special guest on today, Dr. Tanya Pizzari. Now, Tanya is a regular... hello, Tanya.
Fill in.
Yes,
she does a great job.
Well,
she's trying to take my job, but that's another story.
Hard.
But Tanya's... Now, anyway, Tanya's, apart from working at Mill Park Physiotherapy, and she... actually is a researcher at La Trobe University, and she's got two areas of interest. One is in hamstrings and hips, and the other is in shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So she's run a number of trials. In fact, she's in today trying to chase up patients. So if we've got patients out there that have shoulders that spontaneously dislocate, is that right?
Considered to be unstable. So they don't actually have to come out of the joint. But just be unstable and painful.
Okay, so yep. if we've got people out there who've got that, we'll give the details a bit later about how you can get involved in a trial to so you can get some benefit to
okay.
get better. Okay, because they're running a trial at the moment on a couple of different techniques for managing that sort of problem. But it's big at the moment because the number one player in the AFL,
G. Ablett.
So Tanya,
what do we know about Gary Ablett's injury, Tanya? You may know more, you may know less, you may only be able to say whatever you can say. Is it as serious as what some of us think? Can it be, potentially? Career-ending?
Obviously, the initial injury was quite serious. My understanding is that it required quite extensive reconstruction. And following on from that, if you have extensive surgery, then that obviously requires extensive rehabilitation and I suppose care really when you're returning to sport. And so it wouldn't really be expected at this stage after two games that he would be suffering a little bit of pain, inflammation and discomfort like he is. So it's not unexpected in my view.
So in general terms, yeah, we'd be saying that it's not, it's a fairly major procedure and a number of them don't fully recover, do they? There's a percentage, it's a much higher percentage than, say, for example, a knee reconstruction.
Definitely. There's a couple of different reasons, I suppose, for that. There's different types of surgery, and so different types of surgery, the outcomes will be different. And so, for example, there's a type of surgery that you just repair the soft tissue, so the labrum or the cartilage and the ligaments. And in that situation, you are...
Can you just explain what those things are?
Yeah, so you have ligaments at the front of the shoulder that actually hold, particularly at the front, that hold the bone or the shoulder together. And when you have a dislocation, they're commonly torn. The ligaments are torn. And then you also have cartilage at the front of the joint that also supports the shoulder in its socket. And when it dislocates and the bone comes out of the socket, you can tear that off the bone as well.
So is the shoulder socket, we spoke last week about hip sockets. Is it a similar?
Yep. It's very similar. It's called a ball and socket joint. So they're similar, except that the shoulder is much more unstable because the socket is very shallow. So it's almost like it's almost flat, just with a little bit of a concavity in it. Whereas the hip socket is really, really quite a deep socket and a stable socket. So the shoulder requires ligament support, but it also requires a lot of muscle support and control. So if you repair just the soft tissue, you're actually at a really increased risk of re-rupture compared to if you do what's called a bony repair. A bony repair, they actually shave off a bit of bone from the shoulder blade, and they put it as a block at the front of the joint. The advantage of that is there's less chance of recurrence, but you don't have as good an outcome. So in terms of you don't get your full range of motion back, So you always have some sort of limitation. So a lot of the AFL players will have that procedure, a bony procedure, with knowledge that they might not get their full range back, but also with the knowledge that they'll be safer in terms of ongoing recurrent dislocations.
So when you say they don't get the range back, can they still get their arms right above their head or
yeah,
to
so
take a
mark?
Yeah,
so it's just those last, you know, maybe 5 to 10% of their range. So they can definitely still get their arm up a bit, above their head to take a mark. They can punch, they can tackle, they can do all of that stuff. It's just, I suppose, those, you know, if you're really reaching, extending all your arm to grab, you know, that, great mark, you might not be able to get to that, or there might be some limitations when you are tackling players.
So, Tanya, what's happened in the AFL? It's just been a dramatic increase in the number of shoulder reconstructions over the years. We know that from the stats. What is it, the reason given for that?
So that during from about 2000, there has been a dramatic increase, although it had dropped off 2012, 2013, and it had dropped back a little bit.
Yep.
2011 got to its highest rate. And what they actually found when they looked at that was there was an incremental increase in tackles as well. So the number of tackles and the number of shoulder dislocations or shoulder incidents that required game time off kind of increased together.
Okay, so I reckon this is a direct correlation to umpiring in our game. Umpires have become really it's not derogatory. Well, it's not their fault, but they've become really, really strict on in the back with tackles. Mm-hmm. So if you go forward with the player, they will call it straight away as in the back. So I think players are learning more to actually bring players onto their side,
yep.
And as a result, they're falling more on their shoulder joint, not so much forward. Would that be?
Yeah. So there was a study done by Greg Hoy, the shoulder surgeon, and they looked at what was causing the shoulder dislocations. I think that was in the 2012 season. And they showed that about 40% was due to tackles. But that didn't discriminate whether it was the tackler or the tacklee. So certainly there can be force going through the shoulder that results in a dislocation from hitting the ground, but there can also be force that goes through the shoulder causing dislocation from actually tackling somebody. So particularly if your arm is out wide to the side and you're trying to stop a running player, that might be enough force to dislocate a shoulder.
Is there anything we know about in terms of prevention? Is there anything you can do to prevent getting shoulder injuries?
Actually, there was an interesting study I saw recently in the rugby, New South Wales, and they, in one of their teams, because it's a similar story there where they have obviously a lot of shoulder injuries and then at the end of the season everyone gets a reconstruction. So what they did was they instituted a prevention program, so rehab exercises. So a lot of rotator cuff exercises, a lot of balance type exercises with the shoulder, or proprioception, so an awareness of the shoulder and strengthening as well. And they actually showed quite a significant decrease in the requirement for shoulder surgery at the end of the season.
All right, we better take a break. But yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about we're going to talk a bit about those exercises, so to give our listeners a bit of an idea. And it would also be good just to talk about the two different types of dislocation or instability. So the ones that occur as a result of an injury and those that occur spontaneously and how they're different.
Yep.
And Zach, don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming the umpires. The umpires are totally following the rules, that's fine. That's why players have adapted to the rule. And hence the reason why I think that they're falling more on their side, more of that, not a sling tackle, but it's just they're bringing them down more to the side to avoid the in the back. Definitely not the umpire's fault. On the umpire's side on this one. 16 past one. Got time to take a couple of calls, 94291116. Just off the SMS, Tanya, is the generic factors that can result in shoulder dislocations. I've dislocated both shoulders several times doing various activities. My brother and cousin also have dislocated shoulders.
I would say definitely. So without knowing exactly what genetic factors there are, there seems to be sort of that familial sort of trend where if your mum and dad have had issues with the shoulders being unstable, or cousins and brothers and sisters, then you're probably more at risk. And those people tend to be quite hypermobile people. So they're the people that can do the crazy party tricks with their fingers and hyperextend their elbows. And yeah, they generally have unstable shoulders too. So you're probably more at risk. It can also just be because, you know, the whole family's crazy and goes kite surfing every weekend and does crazy things with their shoulders too. But there does seem to be a link, definitely.
Is that with a lot of joints? Like if your dad had bad ankles, are you a chance to have bad ankles? If your dad had bad knees, are you a chance?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what it means by bad. But I suppose if, you know, people who are hypermobile do tend to get more likely to get joint injuries.
Can you explain hypermobile just a bit more?
So basically, it's not so much a muscle thing. It's not that you're loose in your muscles, but your joints move probably more than, you know, your friend's joints move. So they've got more motion available. They can sometimes look a bit freaky when you get to the end of range. So, you know, when you straighten out your elbow, it looks like it bends kind of the other way. When you straighten out your knees, it looks like they're going the other way. So those kind of things might indicate that you're a bit hypermobile.
Let's take a couple of calls, guys. Dennis out of Geelong kicks us off. G'day, Dennis.
G'day, Tony. How's things?
Good, thanks, mate.
Look, I spoke to Kevin Bartlett about this earlier in the week regarding the amount of shoulder injuries. And, look, I suppose Gary Ablett's situation highlights the problem that's, you know, now being brought into the game, that the fact that it's really now the only way you can actually hurt a player and have him basically replaced to the point where he's going to miss either the season or, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. And I'll be interested to see what happens with, say, players like Nathan Fyfe, And the champions of the game that are basically being victimised, basically slung to the ground, two or three players on them, and basically the umpire is basically doing nothing about it, no free kick, no nothing. The tribunal are just ignoring it. The AFL have got a real problem on their hands, Tony, because if this continues, you're going to have basically all the best players out of the game. They target these players, and there's certain clubs like
trying to talk there, Dennis. Let Tanya answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as I think what Dennis is trying to say is that it is quite a forceful tackle that potentially will hurt the player, and I agree.
Especially grounds are a lot harder nowadays,
yeah,
as well.
Definitely.
They're not that soft sponginess.
I mean, you see some of the players getting concussed in these kind of sling tackles, and I'm not here to talk about whether they're right or wrong or what the umpires are doing, but certainly it puts the shoulders at a much greater risk. Your shoulders actually quite a small joint compared to many of the joints in the rest of the body. It is inherently unstable, so it's supposed to be kind of unstable so that you can reach where you want to put your hand. It needs to, you know, need to have a good reach on you. So any impact, and or particularly that repetitive type high load impact, is going to be potentially detrimental.
Let's go to Lee in Parkdale. G'day, Lee.
G'day, Tony. How you going, mate?
Good, mate.
Just a question for Tanya. I've been playing sport for most of my life. I'm 35 now, and I've noticed in the last couple of years my shoulder's been dislocating, and I literally just need to pretty much throw a cricket ball, and it dislocates, and then the way I get it back in is I sort of lean forward, and I lean my arms down, and hang them down, and it goes back in.
Yep.
And I guess my question surrounds, in your experience, does that sound like a likely type of surgery that I might need, which kind of concerns me?
Yeah, is it both shoulders, Lee, or just the one?
Just my right shoulder.
And have you ever dislocated it right out in a traumatic event? Or has it just been, it just started happening?
I wouldn't say, no, not a traumatic event. I think I've had wear and tear just through sporting injuries.
Yeah.
And I felt it come in and out in my mind.
Yep.
And then it came out about 2 years ago maybe and stayed out until someone said, look, just drop your arms down.
Yep.
Pop out, and he was right.
It sounds a bit like what we were discussing very early on with that, you're born with an instability in some ways in your shoulder, so maybe a multi-directional instability, rather than having a shoulder such as Gary Ablett's, which was fine, and then obviously a forceful dislocation. So yours was probably likely to dislocate. So it probably needs a good assessment to really see if there are any structural issues that can be dealt with surgically. But for someone like yourself, actually rehabilitation is probably the best way to go. So strengthen all the muscles that are supporting the shoulder, because your ligaments and your cartilage obviously are not doing their job, and so you need really good support from your muscles to hold it together.
So can you tell us about your study, though? Because that's a good lead-in.
It probably is, and Lee may be eligible, but we are kind of looking for people who have what is called multi-directional instability. So they kind of are those hypermobile people, or they might have episodes of subluxation, which is almost a dislocation, so they slide around in the joint. They might not notice that they dislocate, similar to what Lee was saying, but they have pain, they have problems throwing a cricket ball, they have problems hitting a tennis racket or hitting the ball with a tennis racket. They have problems, you know, doing push-ups. There's kind of, they avoid these activities because it gives them a dead arm, or they just don't like it, doesn't feel right in their shoulders. And they're the kind of people that we're interested in. Not people who, not Gary Ablett. We don't need you, Gary. Who've had...
not tuned in for a week or two.
Yes. Who've had a traumatic dislocation. We're kind of looking at the people who haven't had trauma. So no history of trauma. And similar to what Lee was saying, where it just progressively kind of gets worse over time.
And how do they get onto the study?
Probably best to give me an email as a first step. And my email is T for Tanya, T.Pizzari, which is P-I-Z-Z-A-R-I, or pizza with an R-I, at latrobe.edu.au.
There you go. A couple of final questions for you, Tan. These people must have massive stress on their shoulders. Joe from Coburg. G'day, Joe.
Oh, hi, guys. Great topic. I've got three sons who all do gymnastics, and from a young age, they really strengthen their shoulder joints because they've got to do a lot of ring work.
Yep.
And none of the kids I see in the gym over the last 12 years have ever had any issues.
Yeah.
So strengthening them early on from when they're 3-4 years old and up and doing all that work and stretching, and it really works.
Yeah, absolutely agree, Joe. You know, the shoulder is really reliant on muscle strength and muscle stability. It can't rely. The ligaments are small. The cartilage is small. The joint is not... The socket is small, as I said before. It's shallow. So you really need those good muscle strength, I suppose, around the shoulder. But, you know, there's also situations such as Gary's. You know, he could be as strong as possible, but if someone's got your arm behind your back and throws you into the ground, unfortunately, you're still going to dislocate. But if you're doing a sport such as gymnastics, you do just need that constant strength to stop any of those repetitive type problems happening with instability.
Tanya, a mate of mine, an old physio from Port Ferry, he used to say that kids don't climb enough these days. They used to climb a lot more. And I guess, you know, it's a... We would consider that a something we did in the paleo days, but you know, is there any sort of support for that sort of type of strengthening that where you have to hang from your arms and lift yourself up?
Yeah, look, I think as exactly what Joe was saying, I think that excessive almost requirement for stability of gymnastics or swinging or climbing actually does build up your shoulders to be able to handle that type of thing in the future. Unfortunately, there still will be people who have problems, and those are the people that we talked about with those genetic kind of predisposition. They could strengthen as much as they like, and they'll be better for it, but it might not completely hold them together forever.
Let's go to Brad out at Sunshine. G'day, Brad.
G'day, guys. Just a question for Tanya. So I play cricket, and a couple of years ago, sliding the bat into the crease, the bat actually got stuck and the pain went up my arm.
Yeah.
So now I have a lot of trouble with throwing the ball. I don't have any drummers bowling it, but when I throw it, it's just like an absolute stabbing pain in the back of the shoulder. Is there sort of any exercises that would get me back to throwing the ball again, you think? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think obviously a visit to physio or similar would be helpful to get the exact right exercises, but we just need those muscles around the joint, which are technically your rotator cuff muscles mostly, to be working effectively to hold it in the socket well. And then, you know, also just looking at what type of instability you might have, because what you're describing, and certainly what Gary Ablett had, is an anterior instability where the joint comes out the front, but it can actually slide out the back, and it can slide out of the socket below the socket as well. So there can be different things. And so you could do, you know, the rotator cuff exercises you see on YouTube, but it might not be the exact right ones for you. So I think a good diagnosis is probably in order to start with, and then to start to strengthen it up.
Final one for you, Tanya. Gary out at Airport West. G'day, Gary.
G'day, how are you?
Good.
G'day, Tanya. I'm just wondering, I did a left-hand dislocation several years ago. I was at work and I was walking down the stairs and slipped, and as I slipping, I grabbed onto the handrail with the left shoulder and actually dislocated my shoulder.
Yep.
Now, I've got the problem of every now and then when I sleep, particularly during night times, I get a sort of like a numbness and tingle where I've got to use sometimes my right shoulder to lift my left shoulder to get it active again. And I'm a 10-pin bowler. I do that for a sport. I'm just wondering, is that something I have to put up with now for the rest of my life now, or is that can something be done about it where I can get a lot more strength back in my left-hand shoulder?
Yeah, I would suspect that a lot more could be done. Obviously, I'm not sure what you've done to date, but, you know, first of all, if you've had a traumatic dislocation such as you have had, there may be structural issues there that could be helped by surgery, first of all, because it sounds like what's happening when you're sleeping is the joints, the shoulder's actually coming out of the socket. So it's sitting out and then you get numbness because it's pressing on the nerves. And then when you lift up the arm, it relocates and then you're right. But, you know, certainly looking for any structural lesions. But then, obviously, as we've been discussing, rehabilitation to try and strengthen it so that when you are sleeping, it's not actually falling out of the socket as well. So that could definitely be helpful. But I don't think it sounds like something that you should have to put up with without further investigation at the very least.
And James would like to know, are you looking for people with scapular winging or other thoracic injuries? Long-time sufferer still on the path for finding a solution.
Look, scapular winging can actually be an indicator that you have an unstable shoulder.
Can you say what that is?
Yeah, please.
So when you've got almost angel wings out the back, your shoulder blades are sticking out like you've got a couple of wings.
Oh, okay.
And it can be an indicator that you do have multidirectional instability, definitely.
So give us that email address again.
Yeah, t.pizzari, pizza with an R-I, at latrobe.edu.au. And I was just thinking about Gary's mechanism of injury where he had his hand up on the rail and slipped down. And I had a guy last week that made me laugh because he re-dislocated his shoulder opening the fridge to get some beer out. So he was looking in the fridge to see if there's any beer. He had his arm up on the fridge door and bending down to see if there's any beer in the fridge, and he dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah, but we don't discourage anybody from
drinking
beer, Tanya.
And we also don't...
Come on.
We're not going to encourage people to do the old Mel Gibson...
You pretty much lost your credibility after that fantastic presentation. You go and say something like that, all our listeners are just switched over channels.
Telling people be careful when you're looking for beer in the fridge. Yeah. It may dislocate.
And if anyone does dislocate their shoulder, don't go up to a locker and just knock it back in.
No.
Don't do the old
Actually,
Mel Gibson trick.
I think it was Lee who talked about leaning forward and hanging his arm forward. And so find a table or a bench or a desk and lay down forward on it, so tummy onto it, hang your arm over it, and if it doesn't go back in, you could get someone to just give it a very slight pull and hopefully it goes back in. If it doesn't go in after that, probably call the ambulance.
That's slight.
Yes.
Slight pull.
Yeah.
Slight.
You don't need to do the Tig Keneally sort of...
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, always great to have you in the studio, Tanny. Thank you for that.
Thank
Cobes,
you.
Watch out.
Yeah, for my whole life, mate. Everyone's trying to usurp me, aren't they?
Thank you, mate.
See
Good
you
to see you
week.
Too. Halfback next week with you, Cobes, and also another special guest, I'm sure.